Romans chapter 13 tonight. Romans chapter 13, please. Romans chapter 13. Message entitled, Rulers, a Terror to Evil. Rulers, a Terror to Evil. Look at chapter 13, verse number 1. He talks about civil government being the hand of God. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. In other words, as a whole. Somebody says, well, the rulers that we have right now that are so terrible are ordained by God and we better obey them. That's not what it says. It says the structure is ordained by God. It's put into motion by God. We happen to get evil politicians or evil leaders. That's our problem we need to deal with. But it doesn't mean that if they give an evil order that we're to obey it. Not at all. And people get so strung out over this. Christian people. There are Christian people who say, we've got to obey. We've got to do this, this, and this. Now, wait a minute. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. The structure is ordained of God. He put civil rulers over us for our protection. Notice verse 2. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Verse 3 and 4 is my text. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power to do that which is good? And thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Did you get that? Let's pray. Father, your word is so enlightening, and yet so many times it's taken out of context and used in a wrong way. I pray tonight that you illuminate our hearts by your divine presence in the form of the Holy Spirit. You're the Spirit of truth to guide us, to help us, to give us understanding, to teach us. And I pray tonight you might work that work, that we might see from this side, as human beings, our order and your will. Forgive my sin, give strength and liberty and clarity in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. Notice verse 3, rulers are not a terror. T-E-R-R-O-R, terror. It means extreme fear, violent dread, fright, fear that agitates the body and the mind. Terror, that which may excite dread, the cause of extreme fear. Proverbs says that when evil is not dealt with swiftly, it gives confidence to those standing on the sideline to get involved in it and also participate. But when evil is dealt with by civil authorities in the right manner, in the right way, then it puts the fear of God in everyone and they're afraid to participate. Can you nod in agreement? So you understand my drift here, I'm sure. terror, that which may excite dread, the cause of extreme fear. Rulers are not extreme fear or dread. Rulers are not in the mode of violent dread when it comes to good works. But they are a terror to the evil, to the evil works. In Scripture, it means sudden judgments, oftentimes caused by God, the terror of it all. Verse 3 goes along with verse 1 and verse 2, of course, in the same context, in the same chapter. We are to submit to our civil rulers. We are to submit to those who are in authority over us. By the way, voluntarily, that we have placed there. They work for us. We do not work for them. We have the shoe on the wrong foot at the present time. It seems as though they are kings and potentates sending down decrees that we as subjects are to obey without question. And that's not what the context of this is all about. The reason why I'm bringing this up is because one of our viewers talked to me yesterday on the phone and said that where they're going to church, that the pastor there says we're to obey regardless, no matter what. Even if they are in a bad light, we're to obey. Well, that's not what our forefathers put the Constitution and the Articles there for that purpose, is so that we have recourse against tyrants, so that we have recourse against those who would promote evil and would punish good. We have recourses there. Part of that is the Second Amendment. And the extreme left and those who want to do away with the Second Amendment, why are they fearful of it? Everyone that I know of that's had a gun license and those kinds of things have always done good and never evil with their opportunity. It's a proven fact that where more people carry out their Second Amendment rights, crime is lower than it is in any other place. So what do civil rulers have to worry about? Except that our forefathers not only put it there for our own self-protection against evil, but they put it there for our protection just in case that our rulers began to be tyrannical and decided to take for themselves powers that we do not give to them. You see where I'm saying? And so this poor preacher that has this all misconstrued, there is a whole denomination that goes by this in the same manner. And it's not part of us. But nevertheless, they say we're to obey even when we get evil rulers. We're still to obey. Look, we're to obey the law of the land and the law of the Constitution that we have as a national government. But when they put in and make laws like abortion and same-sex marriage, I'm sorry, I'm not going to obey that. And you can't make me obey that. And there might be prison, but I expect for you to come get me out if that happens. And so we find that there are some weird thinkings about this. We're going to look in the Old Testament and read some story. We're going to read some history in just a moment. For rulers, verse 3, are not a terror. In other words, verse 1, the powers that be are ordained of God. And verse 3, the rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil works. God ordained that they should take care of His people, of those that were Christians, of those that were Jews in the Old Testament, that they would take care of His people and make it a safe haven for them to worship Him in the right manner. Rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil works. Well, I beg to differ. I see that not happening in Oregon and Washington and New Jersey and New York and California and other places, Michigan, where they have the socialist-minded dictators who are saying, you can't open for business, you can't do this, you can't. Who gave them those powers? And are we supposed to obey them? Absolutely not. When they allow our cities to be burned down and our old people to be mugged and beaten up on the streets, it is evil and wrong, and they are not fulfilling their God-given positions, and it's time to move them out and move them along. Those kinds of people demand themselves to be put in jail. They need to be put in jail. They need to be put in prison. I got news for you. The governor of New York State, when he moved all of those people that are infected into the nursing homes, and it ended up killing hundreds of people in the nursing home, he deserves prison himself. He's not above all of this, and just because he has a position that is ordained by God does not mean that he's fulfilling the rights of God in that fashion. Only when rulers are a terror to evil are they fulfilling the order that God gave them. Rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. He's to punish evil and to swiftly take care of those who've broken the law so that others do not follow in their footsteps, where you and I have a safety to go to church and to worship God and to do good in the community without fear of our own lives. God said, verse 4, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For the civil minister, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. That's pretty clear, is it not? Rulers are a terror to evil, not to good. And our forefathers realized that there might come a time in the history after they were dead and gone, that tyrants rise up and make it illegal to worship, make it illegal to follow God in the dictates of our heart, make it illegal to do those things that are guaranteed by God and the Constitution. And they knew that they were giving us a way and a right, a legal right, to dethrone the tyrants that set themselves up against us. Plain and simple. I did a whole series on chapter 13 years ago. It might be time to do it again and reemphasize. But I want to carry you to 2 Chronicles chapter 13. And I want you to see good versus evil. And I want you to see how God blesses one and how he curses the other. Here we are back again with the nation of Israel, God's chosen people. There's only been one other nation in all of history that God seemingly has blessed and loved as much as Israel. And honestly, it has been the United States of America. He's had his hand of protection upon America. He's blessed America with riches. He's blessed America with power. He's blessed America with godliness until we began to turn against him. And I was praying the other night and I said, God, I don't want these things in my nation. Are you going to hold this against me? And what are we going to... And it was profound that as I began searching scriptures that I began to get this idea and this illustration of Israel and how that Israel was split, the northern kingdom, the southern kingdom. You've heard me say it now for the last few weeks. And that's what we read about in 2 Chronicles chapter 13. We read about the godly kings who were in the south or in Judah. Now, I'm telling you the honest truth. This is my opinion. You've heard it before. I don't care. I'm going to tell you again. My honest opinion. I think that we have Americans who have been so brainwashed up until this point that we cannot argue with them about the truth because they're going to turn away from the truth. It's like arguing with that wooden door back there. So you heard me say the other night that I believe we have a house that is divided. And in that division, there needs to be a divorce. There needs to be a separation. I don't know how, and I don't know what, but I'm saying that if we want God's blessings upon America to continue, we're going to have to get rid of the cancer. If we cannot legally put that cancer in jail and isolate it, then we at least need to separate from it. You say, but we're supposed to be unified. You cannot unify good with evil. Good and evil cannot dwell together. You cannot. You can argue it until the sun goes down, but it will find no resolution because there's none available. It's either evil or it's good. And my opinion is we need to separate from them. Are you talking about succeeding? I don't know what you would call it. I don't know how to do it. Somebody a lot smarter than me need to put the plans together. Maybe make every blue state a vote. Do you want to stay blue or you want to go red? And let them rule over their own states and we rule over ours. You say, we can't do that. Can we stay with evil and every 4 years come up against this again until we're ruled over completely and they have padded the boxes so much that we're going to be trapped in it forever? Is that what we want? Not what I want. I see the handwriting on the wall. I'm not dumb. I see the handwriting on the wall. This has been coming for about 60 years. Notice in 2 Chronicles 13, I want to read a little bit. And make comment as we go, a few chapters here. And I want you to see the good kings and how God blessed and what it took to be blessed and how God cursed that northern kingdom of Israel, but he blessed Judah. In chapter 13, notice. Now, in the 18th year of King Jeroboam began Abijah to reign over Judah. Now, you remember Jeroboam and Rehoboam. It's easy to keep them separate. Solomon's son was Rehoboam, R.S., Rehoboam Solomon. It's easy to remember. Jeroboam was a servant to Solomon. And God said, hey, you know what? Things are so bad. I'm going to split this thing. We're going to split this kingdom. And what happened was when Rehoboam went with the young men and advisors, and he said, okay, I'm going to make the taxes harder and stronger than my father Solomon did. He split the kingdom. He split it. And God gave northern 10 tribes to Jeroboam, and he gave 2 tribes to Judah, if I remember correctly. And Judah kept Jerusalem and the temple. So notice, during the reign of Jeroboam, Abijah to reign over Judah. He reigned 3 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Micaiah, the daughter of Uriah of Gibeah. And there was war between Abijah and Jeroboam. There's war between the progressives and the conservatives. Exactly what it was. The liberals who were worshiping idols, who were committing fornication in the worship of those idols, who were committing lustful acts, worshiping golden calves, the whole nine yards. It was horrible. It was horrendous. They were even sacrificing their own children. Sacrificing children to Moloch and other idol gods. So there was war between Abijah and Jeroboam. Abijah set the battle in array with an army of valiant men of war. Even 400,000 chosen men. Jeroboam also set the battle in array against him with 800,000. Twice as many, 2-1. The progressives against the conservatives, 2-1. And Abijah stood up upon Mount Zimrim, which is in Mount Ephraim. And he said, hear me, thou Jeroboam and all Israel. Ought ye not to know that the Lord God of Israel gave the kingdom over Israel to David forever? even to him and to his sons by a covenant of salt. Yet Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, the servant of Solomon, the son of David, is risen up and hath rebelled against his Lord. Now, what should Jeroboam have done when the kingdom split and he was made king over the north? What he should have done was humbled himself and said, look, people, this is not right that this kingdom should be split like this. This is David's kingdom. Solomon is his son. And yet here is Rehoboam. He's made a foolish young person's mistake. Let's all rally around King Rehoboam and let's reunite and get this thing worked out. I believe we can work it out. No. He lusted after the power. He lusted after the position. He lusted after the riches. He wanted it all. And he kept the kingdom and drove a wedge between the two, even making golden calves, putting up a temple in the north kingdom so that the people would not go to Jerusalem and realize that's where they ought to be, going down to worship. They would not change their minds now. Jeroboam should have done that, but he did not. He rebelled. Verse 7, and there was gathered unto him vain men, the children of Belial, evil, and have strengthened themselves against Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, when Rehoboam was young and tender-hearted and could not withstand them. And now ye think to withstand the kingdom of the Lord in the hand of the sons of David, and ye be a great multitude, and there are with you golden calves, which Jeroboam made you for gods. Have you not cast out the priest of the Lord, the sons of Aaron and the Levites, and have made you priests after the manner of the nations of other lands, so that whosoever cometh to consecrate himself with a young bullock and seven rams, the same way may be made a priest of them that are no gods. Wickedness. But as for us, Abijah is saying, but as for us, the Lord is our God. Now you see, if we're talking about America, we're talking about this evil who says there is no difference between Allah and Elohim. There is no difference between Allah and Christianity. We're all worshiping the same God, and we absolutely are not. And then they give priority to any kind of religion and, you know, freedom to infiltrate and so on. But as for us, the Lord is our God. And we have not forsaken him. And the priests which minister unto the Lord are the sons of Aaron and the Levites. They have a rightful order that God ordained to be the priests. And they burn unto the Lord every morning and every evening burnt sacrifices and sweet incense worship. The showbread also they set in order upon the pure table, the candlestick of gold with the lamps thereof to burn every evening for we keep the charge of the Lord our God. We do what God orders and how He orders it, but ye have forsaken Him. We, as Brother Terry mentioned Sunday evening, have been asleep and allowed one woman to take God out of our schools and the Bible out of our schools. You're going to see in just a moment a king who stood up and said, we're going to have the Word of God again. We're going to have teachers of the Word of God again. We're going to worship God the right way again. And that needs to be in America, but it will not happen as long as the progressives are around and in charge of things. But ye have forsaken him. Verse 12. And behold, God himself is with us for our captain, his priest with sounding trumpets to cry alarm against you, O children of Israel. Fight ye not against the Lord God of your fathers, for ye shall not prosper. Here we have the people of the same blood, all Jewish people. In one nation, Israel, that has been split. The northern kingdom, Israel. The southern kingdom, Judah. And they're fighting against one another. He says in verse 13, but Jeroboam caused an ambushment to come about behind them so that they were before Judah and the ambush was behind them. And when Judah looked back, behold, the battle was before and behind. And they cried unto the Lord and the priest sounded with the trumpets. Then the men of Judah gave a shout, and as the men of Judah shouted, it came to pass that God smote Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah and Judah. And the children of Israel fled before Judah, and God delivered them into their hand. And Abijah and his people slew them with a great slaughter. So there fell down slain of Israel 500,000 chosen men. Thus the children of Israel were brought under at that time, and the children of Judah prevailed because they relied upon the Lord God of their fathers. Because they relied upon the Lord God of their fathers. Nothing's going to change in America until we come back to God. Period. In God we trust is all over our money. But the Democrats even tried to get that taken off and get rid of that. But I'm afraid that we don't understand which God and what God and who God. The Lord God, Jesus Christ. Because they relied upon the Lord God of their fathers, Abijah pursued after Jeroboam and took cities from him. Bethel with the towns thereof, and Jehoshaphat with the towns thereof, and Ephraim with the towns thereof. Neither did Jeroboam recover strength again in the days of Abijah, and the Lord struck him and he died. But Abijah waxed mighty and married 14 wives. I don't agree with that, but nevertheless it happened. Verse 22, the rest of the acts of Abijah and his ways and his sayings are written in the story of the prophet Iddo. Chapter 14, look. So Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. Asa is the great-grandson of Solomon. The great-grandson of King Solomon, Asa. And Asa reigned in his stead. In his days, the land was quiet 10 years. Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. It seems like every time we see God moving and working and the blessings falling, it's because at that particular time they had a king whose heart was towards God, and God blessed them mightily in so many ways. He did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord his God. He took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places, and break down the images and cut down the groves, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment. This is religious law and religious commandment. He commanded Judah. Well, we're in a democracy, and it's unconstitutional for you to say that Jesus is the Lord and we should worship. No, our nation was founded on Christianity, by the way. Not on Buddhism. Not on anything else other than worshiping Jesus Christ with all our heart and all our soul. Why not put him back in the school system? Why not put his word back in? Why not put the Ten Commandments back in? Why not put the pledge to the flag back in? Listen. This king commanded Judah. Here's a civil servant, Romans 13, who's doing good and right, who is a terror to evil, and God blessed them. And he commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and do the law and the commandment. He also took away all the cities, out of all the cities of Judah, the high places and the images. That's the idols and the worship and the temples that were built there for to worship them, which also included the houses of the sodomites and the prostitutes that were next to many of them. Altars where their babies were sacrificed. It was wicked. And he took them all away. In verse 6, he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest, and he had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make about them walls and towers, gates and bars, while the land is yet before us. Because we have sought the Lord our God, we have sought him, and he hath given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. And Asa had an army of men that bare targets and spears out of Judah, 300,000, and out of Benjamin that bare shields and drew bows, 240,000, 280,000. All these were mighty men of valor. They were brave, and they followed and trusted after the Lord. And there came out against them Zerah, the Ethiopian with a host of 1,000, 1,000,000 foot soldiers and 300 chariots and came unto Mareshah. Then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephaniah. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people that were with him pursued them unto Gera. And the Ethiopians were overthrown, that they could not recover themselves, for they were broken. They were destroyed before the Lord and before his host, and they carried away very much spoil. In chapter 15, I want you to look at verse 1. In every case, however, you find the civil servants returning unto God. You find the civil servants relying upon the strength and the arm of God, not the arm of flesh. Now, regardless of what you think of the individuals, tell me how many times you've heard the progressive side mention relying upon God, trusting in God, or putting God back in America, and you've heard the conservative side say the same thing. I have heard it over here. Not a lot, but I have heard it. I have not heard it over here at all. Notice chapter 15. I'm coming to a point. The Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long season, Israel hath been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. Underline those words, teaching priest. There was a time when in all of Israel, every city had a teaching priest that taught the Word of God. And people learned it. And they were fearful of God. And they respected God. And they loved God because they were being taught the Word of God. But notice verse 4. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought Him, He was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And nation was destroyed of nation and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Be ye strong, he's speaking to Asa. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Obed, the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. Listen. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon. For they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. Key verse. Asa, king of Judah, did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and called upon God to help him when it was time to war against the enemies. And God did. And it was recognized enough that God was favoring Judah and God was favoring King Asa or Abijah, no Asa, that God was supporting Asa and helping him, defeated the 1,000,000 strong armies and 300 chariots of the Ethiopians, and he blessed them with material blessings and all kinds of things. That now people that are living up in the northern kingdom are starting to come down to Judah. They're recognizing God's presence is absent up here, but present down here. And He's having converts come down. He's getting people that are moving their membership, if you please, down to Judah. For they fell to Him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord His God was with Him. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen, 7,000 sheep. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. That whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. What's the significance of that? If they're not seeking after God with all their heart, then they must be an idol worshiper. They must worship Balak or Balaam and demon gods and the lust of the flesh. Verse 14. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting and with trumpets, with cornets. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn in all their heart and sought Him with their whole desire. And He was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. Could you possibly stop for a moment and think? Imagine in your mind. You've seen the news. You've read stuff on Facebook. You know what the governors and the mayors of some of the cities are saying. Could you possibly see that we could come together and worship the one true God together and have a service of unity? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. They're for defunding police officers. They're allowing their officers to be hit in head with bricks and stones and frozen bottles of water and having their eyes blinded with lasers. And they're doing nothing about it. They've even told the police officers you can't use tear gas, you can't use pepper spray, and you certainly can't use your weapon. Why? Against those who are encouraged to mock and harm law enforcement, to burn and loot and destroy. This is evil. Anyone in their right mind can see that this is evil. And so Asa made a decree, and he said that everyone in this nation would worship the Lord God. Oh, if you're a Methodist, you can worship Him like Methodists worship Him. I don't know. If you're a Church of Christ, okay. Assembly of God, okay. But we're going to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. That ought to be the law of the land. I'm serious about it. If you don't like it, then move to communist China. If you don't like it, go to communist Russia. If you don't want to worship the Lord Jesus. Yeah, hey, by the way, that reminds me. Did you know there's coming a day when Jesus rules the world for 1,000 years that people will be commanded to come up and worship Him at least once a year? Did you know that will be the law? And if they fail to do it, the Lord's going to turn off the rain from their part of the world. And it's every man has to grow his own food in that day and time. But there won't be any pestilence or disease as far as that goes. So it'll be a bountiful place. But He shuts off the rain. You don't come worship? Here's the consequences. Wow, a rod of iron. I like that. Look at chapter 16. In the 6th and 30th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel. I'm only going to chapter 17, by the way. Baasha, king of Judah, king of Israel, the northern kingdom. Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. He shut off the primary trade route, and he's the evil king of the northern kingdom, Israel. And now he's got Asa shut up and shut in the south. And then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, Damascus, saying, there is a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. So break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. And Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa, and sent captains of his armies against the cities of Israel, and they smote Ijon and Dan and so on. And it came to pass, when Baasha heard it, that he left off building of Ramah and let his work cease. Then Asa the king took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah and the timber thereof, wherewith Baasha was building, and he built therewith Geba and Mizpah. Okay. He hired a wicked king that was not even a believer to be an ally against the king of Israel. Verse 7, listen. At that time, Hananiah the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians, remember the 1 million soldiers, were not the Ethiopians and the Libyans a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. That's still prevalent today. And it's still relevant in our nation, in our situation. If we rely upon him and draw near unto him, he draws near unto us. But as long as we keep saying, oh, it's against the law, we can't speak the name of Jesus. No, you can't do that here. You can't mention God. You can't read from the Bible. No, no, no. But they allow the Quran and other things. That's evil. And we're going along with it and we're allowing it. I don't understand. Irreconcilable differences. We want our God back by name. We want our country back by name. He goes on and he says, verse 9, herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. And Asa was angry. He was wroth with the seer and put him in prison house. For he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. Behold, the acts of Asa, first and last, and they went on. Asa got a disease in his feet, you know the story. He would not call upon God to heal him, but he called upon the doctors, and he eventually died. He was such a great king up until this point, until he decided he needed a wicked ally to help defeat a wicked king, and he paid the king of Syria to come and do this, rather than relying upon God, who miraculously gave him a victory over 1 million soldiers. He could do that easily again, but Asa didn't go back to him. He must have been influenced. His heart was away from God. We have to keep ourselves close to God. And I'm fearful that America has slipped away from Almighty God and realized we still want him to, oh God, please bless America. And we're killing babies. And we're marrying sodomites. And we're doing all of these things. There's no way in the world God's going to bless until we change some things. Notice chapter 17, and I'm finished. Here's my point. And Jehoshaphat, Asa died, and Jehoshaphat his son, which would make him the great-great-grandson of Solomon. Solomon's great-great-grandson is now the king of Judah. And Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his stead and strengthened himself against Israel. And he placed forces in all the fenced cities of Judah and set garrisons in the land of Judah and in the cities of Ephraim, which Asa, his father, had taken. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the ways of his father David and sought not unto Balaam, but sought to the Lord God of his father, Jehovah God, and walked in his commandments, and not after the doings of the northern kingdom, Israel. Therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah, brought to Jehoshaphat presents, and he had riches and honor in abundance, and his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places and the groves out of Judah. Did not Asa do that? Asa did that. Isn't it amazing how the infiltration of idolatry is always there, and the lust of the flesh that goes along with that religion is so strong that people start sneaking it back in on the high places. And here Jehoshaphat has to go in and destroy it again. He took away the high places and groves out of Judah. Also in the third year of his reign, listen to this. In the third year of his reign, he sent to his princes, even to Ben-Hail and Obadiah and to Zechariah and to Nathanael and to Micaiah to teach in the cities of Judah. What are we doing? We're reestablishing the order of God Almighty. We're teaching His Word again in all the cities of Judah. Well, yeah, but people are not sure they want that. Too bad, we're teaching it. See, we've allowed them to take Christianity out of our school system. Is it any wonder? Is it a surprise that the young people today are as militant as they are? Is that a shock? It's not to me. We have two generations that's grown up without God at all. And so Jehoshaphat ordered all of these men, and their names we know, to teach in the cities of Judah. And with them he sent Levites. Oh, here are the priests. Even Shemaiah and Nethaniah and Zebadiah and so on and so on. Verse 9. And they taught in Judah, and they had in their possession the book of the law of the Lord with them, and went about throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people. And the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands that were round about Judah, so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat. Here's my whole point. I wanted to read all of that to bring you to this point. The fear of the Lord comes upon those who hear and learn His Word. The fear of the Lord comes upon those who hear and learn of His Word. There's been such a drought. There's been such a devastation and emptiness of the Word of God and the teachings and the cities that was absent. And people were growing up not knowing the Word of God, not hearing it taught, not seeing a Levite, not seeing a priest, not hearing the Word of God preached. And suddenly Jehoshaphat reverses all of that, puts it back into every city. And people now are standing and listening to the Word of God being read, as we've just done. Listening to the Word of God read and listening to the teachings of it by the Levites, and seeing the scrolls of it as they handle it and carry it. They taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them, and went throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people. And the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands that were round about Judah, so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat. Also, some of the Philistines brought Jehoshaphat presents and tribute silver, and the Arabians brought him flocks, 7,700 rams and 7,700 he-goats. And Jehoshaphat waxed great exceedingly, and he built in Judah castles and cities of store, and he had much business in the cities of Judah, and the men of war, mighty men of valor, were in Jerusalem. And these are the numbers of them according to the house of their fathers. And he goes on. The whole point is, you want to make America great again? Elect a conservative, but also put the Word of God back where it belongs, in teaching and training our young people to fear Almighty God in school. To learn to quote the Ten Commandments, which is just a basic part of the law, but the Ten Commandments, to know by heart, recite them every morning in class before school. Hear the Word of God read over the intercom system every morning before school. I'm not talking about alternating with the Quran and the Bible and Buddhism. And, no, I'm talking about Jesus Christ, the only Lord, the only God. Read His Word every morning. Memorize the Ten Commandments. Pledge allegiance to the flag and pray before school starts. And I guarantee you, you'll see a drastic change before the end of the year. Leave it like it is. It's only going to get worse. And it's going to get worse as long as the cancer is there. Irreconcilable differences to our God, to our marriages, to our homes, to our system of government, to our nation. Irreconcilable differences to what we think about and feel about life as dictated to us from God Almighty. Respect for the unborn. And respect for marriage. Respect for our nation. And for my family members and yours who died to give us the freedom and the liberty that we have. And yes, the national anthem is about those who died to give us this nation. The national anthem tells us that we are Americans. It's before every ball game, and it's before every civil, it ought to be before every civil assembly. The national anthem gives us pride in a nation who represents one nation under God. But I'm not sure that the time has come that we ought to be divisible, that we ought to divide, that we ought to divorce, because we have irreconcilable differences. Do you see it? Thanks be unto God when they began to put the Word of God back in every city and back in the lives of people. It began to make a difference, and God blessed again, and God gave prosperity again. People began to have a different attitude and a different mindset. You cannot legislate good. You cannot legislate unity. You cannot legislate love one for another. But God's law teaches us how and why we love one another. I love those who are evil. They need to be born again, for they split hell wide open. But their destiny is there because they're evil and wicked at the present time. And they're only working out the inwardness of their heart at this particular time. Jesus said the heart is wicked and desperately evil. Who can save it but only God? That's my 2 cents worth. Let's pray. God, I pray tonight that You'd use what's been said for Your honor and glory.